that we are this morning, we owe to the fact that He is alive. Amen. Praise God. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 28 this morning. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, and normally I would ask you to stand, but we're just going to read one verse this morning. We've already stood a pretty good bit this morning, so I'll not have you stand. But I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter 28. There's a lot that could be read here, and a lot that could be said through this chapter, but I want us to just look at one verse and give you what the Lord's put on my heart this morning out of this one verse in Isaiah chapter 28. And look with me in verse number 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." And so I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning, with the Lord's help, on Jesus the stone. Jesus the stone. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace, and I thank You for the blessing it is to be saved. Lord, I thank You for the blessing it is to have a sure foundation as we walk through this life. And Lord, I thank You for all that's been wrought in Christ this morning. Thank You that He is alive. He ever liveth to make intercession for us, seated at the right hand of the Father. The blood's been applied. Everything that's been done needs to be done, that heaven's blessings might turn earthward. And Father, You have opened the windows of heaven. You have poured out a blessing, or that there's not been room enough to receive it in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we ask You forgive us, Lord, for not recognizing Your blessing so many times. Lord, our flesh is so wicked. Father, we'll walk through this life and we'll go day to day and not even think of Your blessings when You've been so good. And we thank You for being the Heavenly Father that You are. And Lord, that we're, even though we're in a dry and thirsty land, Lord, even though we're walking through a wicked world, Lord, You are all that we need. And we thank You, Father, for blessing us and taking care of us and meeting our needs. Lord, I thank You for every poor old lost sinner that might be here this morning. Thank You, Lord, You're able to save to the uttermost. Lord, thank You for my children and my family. And Lord, as my boys grow, Lord, they're able to be saved. And Lord, You can save and You will save, Lord, if we'll trust in Thee. And Lord, I thank You for every young person here that's lost, or they can be saved. And we thank You for that. Thank You, You can save the young and the old, the rich and the poor. Lord, we thank You for Jesus this morning, for saving our souls, those of us that are saved. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to be more like You, Lord. Grow us and encourage us, uplift us, but reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I just pray Your will be done in our hearts and our lives, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we look here in the prophet Isaiah, this is probably the most well-known prophet, written prophet in the Bible. Isaiah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is the longest prophet. It's one of the major prophets of the Scripture. If you have ever wondered what the difference is when you've heard the terminology talked about the major prophets and minor prophets in the Bible, the only reason minor prophets are called minor prophets is because they're shorter. And they're smaller. That literally is the reason why. Minor prophets are shorter in length. The major prophets are longer in length. Isaiah is one of the more well-known major prophets of the Bible. And this verse here is a prophetic passage concerning Jesus Christ. That's pretty clear to see. He's talking about our Lord and Savior. Now, I want you to know that Isaiah was written somewhere around 700 to 750 years before Jesus was ever born. And that's one reason why we know our Bible is true. Amen. No other religious book in the world has the fulfilled prophecy that our Bible has. Amen. No other religious book in the world has the specific fulfilled prophecy that our Bible has. Amen. I mean, there's prophecies about Jesus Christ all through the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, all of the Old Testament is talking about Jesus. Amen. It's all pictures and types and shadows shows. If you read the Old Testament, if you read any of the Bible and you miss Christ, you've missed it. Amen? He is the theme of our Bible. Praise God. But listen, He's not the only one that the Old Testament prophesied about. The Old Testament prophesied about Alexander the Great over 300 years before He was ever born. And it was a very specific prophecy, and Alexander the Great came and He lived and He conquered exactly the way the prophet Daniel said He would in Daniel chapter 8. Amen? And so our Bible, we know is true, we know it is reliable. It doesn't need to be rewritten, it needs to be reread. Amen? And it's not so important that we go through the Word of God as the Word of God goes through us. Amen? Read your Bible, believe your Bible, and you will do well. Amen? And so thank God for His Word, and thank God for fulfilled prophecy. All that they were looking forward to in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen? And when the Old Testament ended in a curse, when the Old Testament ended with a coffin, it started with a bang in Matthew chapter 1 with angels in the sky singing unto shepherds and wise men coming from the east and a Savior being born. Praise God. All they were looking forward to was fulfilled when Jesus came. Amen. And thank God for the cross. Thank God for all that was said about Him. It's all fulfilled in Him. Listen, thank God for that. Thank God that everything that the Bible said He would be, He has been. But thank God He's been everything He promised He would be in my life too. Amen. Hey, thank God it's personal. Isn't it good to read about the Lord and read about the fulfilled prophecies and know the promises and see all that has been done? But isn't it even better whenever He's been that in your life? Amen. When you can read that His grace is sufficient, but that you found that His grace is sufficient. Whenever you read about His mercy, but it's better to feel and experience His mercy. Amen. When you can read about and hear testimonies of being saved and getting born again, but when you've got your own testimony of when the Lord saved your soul from hell. Amen. Thank God we don't have to experience a Christless eternity. Thank God our children don't have to experience a Christless eternity because of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. And Brother Raymond said it right. Thank God He set my feet on that rock. Amen. That stone that is Him. He on Christ the solid rock I stand. On other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Jesus the stone. Amen. And He's described here in this verse as a stone. And thank God Jesus is our stone. When this world, with every generation that goes by and every age that comes and goes, this world is always shifting and it's always changing. And listen, the court of public opinion is always changing, and the way people feel about this, that, or the other, it's always changing. As a matter of fact, it wasn't too terribly long ago that they were predicting an ice age, isn't that right? I think as late as the 80s they were talking about the soon coming ice age and how our world would be a desert wasteland because of all the frigid temperatures. It would kill everybody and kill everything, and our world would turn into this big block of ice because of the next ice age that was coming. Well, they've flipped the script on that, ain't it, now? And it's not even global warming anymore. It's climate change now. Amen? And so things are always changing. The Bible calls it science so-called. Amen? Science so-called. Listen, modern science is mostly a joke. It's mostly a joke. Amen? It's just like anything else. They'll rewrite history. They'll rewrite science. They'll rewrite whatever they got to rewrite to prop up their opinion. Amen? The best thing you could ever do is trust this Bible. Isn't that right? And one man said it right. He said if people would keep climbing the mountain of truth, they'd get to the top and realize that old-time Baptists with their King James Bible have been there waiting for them all along. Amen? And so things are always changing. Things are always shifting. But thank God there is a God in heaven who is the same yesterday and today. Day and forever. And He is solid ground, and His Word is solid ground. Jesus is a stone, praise God. He is our stone. Jesus called Himself the stone. Matter of fact, He's not a stone, He's the stone. Amen. If there's ever any solid ground to stand on, it's Him. He's it. Amen. He's the stone. And He called Himself the stone in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. He said, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Catholics, of course, take that verse and make Peter out to be the first pope. Amen. But Jesus wasn't talking about Peter being the stone. He was talking about Himself being the stone. He said, thou
art Peter, which means a stone. Amen. He gave him that name. Amen. But he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, referring to himself. Amen. Now, we know that to be true because Peter himself turned right around and called Jesus that stone. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Amen. And certainly Jesus isn't precious to this world. That's why people who say they're saved and say they're Christians won't even be in church this morning. Amen. Because he's not precious to them. They don't believe. Amen. Whenever you believe, he becomes precious. Amen. That's why people who say they're saved and love Jesus don't ever read their Bible and don't ever pray and won't be faithful to the things of God, because he's not precious to their dying soul. Amen. But whenever you believe unto salvation, there's a change that takes place. Ain't that right? Hey, God does a work on the inside and causes you to love the things you used to hate and hate the things you used to love, and things become very precious to you that didn't used to be precious. Isn't that right? And I tell you, ever since the day the Lord saved me, he has become mighty precious in my eyes. Jesus is all the world to me. Amen. And so he said, ye that believe, he is precious. Amen. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, that means rejected. The stone which the builders rejected, disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And so Peter, God in the form of Jesus Christ made that statement to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And then when Peter wrote his letter, he said, he is the stone, he is the rock, he is the chief cornerstone, he is the head of the corner. Amen. And so he's the only foundation laid for eternal life. Isn't that right? If you're going to live forever, if you're going to go to heaven when you die, you better turn to Jesus. Amen. He is the only way. He's presented here in Isaiah by the prophet in striking contrast to all others. Men may make a covenant with death and hell and a refuge of lies and a hiding place of false, but that would all be swept away. The only foundation that abides is Christ himself. Amen. One of these days, the elements will help melt with a fervent heat, and this present world will pass away. As a matter of fact, at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, he said, the dead, small and great, and death and hell will give up her dead, and the sea will give up death. And the Bible says the earth and the heavens will flee away, and they will stand before God. Amen. Every lie that every man built his life on, all the money that man builds his life on, all the charisma that man builds his life on, the success he builds his life on, his interests and the things that are important to him that he builds his life on, all of that will flee away one of these days. It will all come to pass, yet Jesus, the stone, will stand. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to give you about three or four different things, maybe five different things, right out of this verse concerning Jesus, the stone. Thank God he is the stone. Praise God. There's a lot that the Bible likens the Lord to. As a matter of fact, he made his own claims regarding him being the door, him being the bread of life, him being the way, the truth, and the life, the good shepherd. Jesus, David said, he is my high tower. David said, he is my sword. David said, he is my shield. Amen. There's so many things. Listen, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. He is the lily of the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He's so many things. But praise God, he is our stone. Praise God. Now this verse, this one verse right here, says many things regarding Jesus, our stone. First of all, we find that he is a foundation stone. He says in the verse, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Now, if a house is built, if a building is built, before anything else is done, they have to lay a foundation. There has to be a good, solid foundation. And God said he was going to lay for a foundation a stone. Amen? That's the best foundation there is. Isn't that right? It's got to be a stone. And Christ is the foundation of our salvation. Amen? As a matter of fact, Christ is the foundation of all that we believe. Amen? Hey, listen, the Bible is not our Savior. It reveals the Savior. Amen? Listen, the Bible is not Jesus. It reveals Jesus. Amen? It's the written Word, and He is the living Word. Amen? And the only reason we'd ever obey the Bible is because we love Him. That's why a lot of people don't obey it. They know it and have memorized it and have a head knowledge of it, but they don't obey it and they don't live it, and it's not the foundation of their life because He's not the foundation of their salvation. Amen? And so God said He was going to lay a foundation, a stone. In fact, Jesus is the only foundation for our salvation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Amen. Build salvation on this foundation or you'll have no salvation. Amen. It's all got to be Jesus focused whenever it comes to salvation. As a matter of fact, the church must be Jesus focused. Amen. Listen, this isn't a seeker friendly church. We're not seeker friendly. We're not polling the crowds to find out what people want. Amen? I don't give a rip what you want me to preach, if you want me to be honest with you. I mean, I love you. I'm not being ugly when I say that. But if you always want me to be honest, I don't give a rip what anybody wants me to preach. We were talking just yesterday about a preacher that we know, and you might know him if I called his name. But anyways, he came to a new church, and for a few years he pastored this church. And he told that church, from what I understand, this is what I was told, that he made it very clear to this church he came to that he refused to lose anybody else over dress standards. He said, "I'm not going to make that an issue anymore. We're not losing another family. We're not losing another person over dress standards." Amen. In other words, making it clear, listen, do what you want. You know, if that's your hang-up, well, that's fine. I mean, you just keep on coming. We're not going to say anything about it. We're not going to do anything about it. And listen, I want you to know that it's not up to me to decide what we'll lose a family over and what we won't. It's not up to me. Listen, I'm your pastor, but it's not up to me to preach or not preach what will offend you or won't offend you. It's not up to me to preach what will keep a family or run somebody off. That's not up to me. Amen? I tell you what I'm going to major on. I'm going to major on the things God majors on, and I'm going to minor on the things God minors on. Listen, God makes those decisions, not me. Amen? And God's the one who put it in this book, and we'll preach the whole counsel of God or we won't. Amen? And if it's good enough to believe, and if it's good enough for God to write it in His book, it's good enough to preach. Amen? And if somebody won't get right with God, and if somebody won't side with God on any issue, whether it's dress standards, or whether it's tithing, or whether it's doing anything else, if they won't side with God and side with the Word of God, they won't be right. And it's not God's fault, it's their fault. We're not going to change this Bible. And we might build a crowd based on withholding some things, but we'll never build a church that way. Amen. Because this written Word is our foundation. Amen. And I'll just say this, if somebody's got so much rebellion in their heart that they're a rebel towards God and the things of God, that they get mad and say, "I'm not going to that church anymore because they preach the Bible," let me tell you, that's their problem, not mine. And I'm not being ugly and I'm not being smart whenever I say that, but listen to me, it's just a fact. We've got to get back to this Bible. We've got to get back to believing what we believe and why we believe it and having a solid foundation on the Word of God. Amen? Listen, I say praise God for the men of God, listen, that took a Bible and preached to me right where I was living, whether I liked it or didn't like it, amen, and showed me where I'd missed it. And thank God that He gave me enough grace to not get mad and walk away, amen, and go find some lily-livered preacher out there, some lip-wristed goofball with a perm and a necklace, amen, with lace on his drawers that wouldn't tell me anything, amen. Listen, a man that will not preach to you where you're living and tell you the truth about your soul, he does not love you. He hates you. He's after your billfold, friend, and you better watch out for that crowd. Jesus didn't call them nice guys. He called them wolves in sheep's clothing. None of that's in my notes, but there it is. Praise God. Amen. See, He is our foundation. And if anything will ever be built for the glory of God, it'll be on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And you can't separate Jesus Christ from this King James Bible. Again, He's the living Word, and this is the written Word. Amen? The closest thing we have to possessing Jesus Christ in the flesh is this Bible. It's the closest thing we have. Amen? And it's not up to me, and it's not up to you. We can't treat the Word of God like a salad bar and take what we want and leave the rest. Amen? Listen, we'll be right with God or we'll be wrong with God. Amen. And by the way, if dress standards is somebody's hang-up, that's the one thing that they won't get right with God about, that's the one thing that'll send them to hell. Oh, I don't believe that, Brother Jacob. I've got everything right maybe but that. But listen, I'm just telling you. If that's the one thing that cause you to rebel against the Holy Spirit, that's the one thing that'll keep you out, because the rich young ruler only had one thing too. His dress standards were probably right, but his money wasn't right. And Jesus said, "Yet lackest thou one thing." Amen. And if that's the one thing that gets somebody hung up and they'll never go any further with God, never go any more mile with God except beyond that 1 mile, I'm telling you, that's the 1 mile that's going to keep them out. Amen. And I know we're living in a different society, and I know we're living in a different age, and I know that the standards and the ideas of the world have changed, but God hasn't changed His mind on anything. Amen? And we may only ever have just a handful. We may not have anybody before this thing's over with. Amen? Amen? But listen, we're not going to depart from this book to get them. Amen? Because we're not building a church that way. We can build a crowd, but you can never build a church. Amen? Not without a foundation. And so the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that foundation, there is no salvation. Amen? You remember what the Lord said. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. I want to show you a verse over here. In Matthew chapter 7, the Gospel of Matthew, right at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is closing it out. In verse number 24 of chapter 7, He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." There it is. Praise God. A wise man builds his house upon the rock. He doesn't build his house on the public opinion or even religion or what the preacher says. He builds his house upon the rock. He says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Amen. Listen, now that's talking about anybody that would ever take these sayings of mine, is what he said. What are these sayings of mine? It's right here. These sayings of mine, and not believe them, treat the Bible like a salad, a salad bar, and take what they want and leave what they don't. Amen. Anyone that would treat the Bible that way and build their life and build their home and build their family that way, Jesus says you're building your life on sinking sand. Amen. And one of these days it's going to fall. It doesn't matter how big it gets, how beautiful it gets, how glorious it gets, it's being eroded little by little, and one of these days it will fall, and great will be the fall of it. Amen. Listen, that's why so many people have been raised up in good, solid churches like this one that have preached the Bible and stood for the things that are right for many years and stood for old-time religion, and yet there comes a day where they lose their kids, they lose their home, and then they're out. Amen. I tell you, somewhere down in there, they built their house on something that was not the stone of Jesus Christ and His Word. Amen. Somewhere down in there. See, that's the thing about a foundation. You can't always see it from the outside. We assume when something's built on rock, but we don't know. I mean, when we ride down the road and we look at all these houses and buildings, I mean, you just assume it's built on a solid, a good, concrete, solid stone foundation. Because that's just the way it's done, right? So we assume that, but we don't know because we can't see it, right? Amen. But one of these days, if that foundation is not right, and if that foundation is not sure, if that foundation is not solid, little by little, you'll be able to see it come through on the outside. Amen. And it may be a big, beautiful building, dressed up, whited sepulcher on the outside, but full of dead men's bones on the inside, is what Jesus said. Amen. And so He said that the wise man builds his house on the rock. He equated that to believing His words. Amen. Now, look at this in verse 28. It goes on to say, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, He equated His words to the stone, the solid foundation. And He did that with authority because He is that stone. And they never heard anybody preach like that before. Amen. Thank God He is a solid foundation. If you would build your life on Jesus, you'd never go wrong. And you'd never be disappointed. And listen, and the things that God uses your life and builds in your life, they'll never fall. Amen. Listen, the devil and in this world will build skyscrapers with your life, but one of these days they're going to fall. A storm will come and it'll fall. Listen, something will happen and it will fall. Amen. But what Jesus builds will never fall. Praise God. He's the foundation. And He's the foundation of our salvation. Number two, in the verse we find, not only is He a foundation stone, but He is a tested stone. Back in our verse 16 of Isaiah 28, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. A tried stone. Christ was tested, that is, tried in His time and in His life here on this earth. Amen? And thank God He passed every test. Amen? Don't you remember how shortly after His baptism, He went up into the wilderness, was led by the Spirit up into the wilderness, and He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and He was severely tested and tried by Satan himself. Amen? You can find that in Matthew chapter 4. And yet He passed every test with flying colors. Amen? Listen, you'll find no fault in Him. Amen? None is more proven and trustworthy than Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, anytime we are going to invest our money or invest our time, we want to go into something that is proven, something that is tried, something that has stood the test of time. Amen. Hey, thank God we have a Bible that has done that. Amen. Listen, the devil's tried to get rid of it and the world leaders have tried to get rid of it, but it's been tried and tested and yet it has stood. Amen. And Jesus, the living Word, is no different. Amen. Listen, He was tried and tested. Listen, He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. Listen, He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tried and tested and tempted, and yet He passed every test, and nothing is more worthy of you investing your life into than Jesus. Because there's none more proven and trustworthy than Him. We need to put our trust in that which is proven and trustworthy, especially in the matter of salvation. Amen. All other ground is sinking sand. He is a tested stone. But then, He's also a precious stone, He says in this verse. He says, He lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. A precious stone. That word precious has a double meaning here, really. It can be interpreted a couple different ways. First of all, precious carries the idea of something of great value. Amen? Something very valuable. Precious stones are stones of great value, such as diamonds and emeralds. Amen? Christ is that stone of greatest value because He can save your soul. Amen? Amen. He saves the soul, the most valuable thing on earth. Amen. One soul is worth all the world. And Jesus is enough to save every soul in the world. Amen. And so He is of great, immense value. He is the great treasure that you could possess, that I could possess. Amen. And we all have things in our lives that we treasure. Amen. I mean, it may be some family heirloom, something handed down, something that we've saved up our money for and bought and invested in, and we treasure those things. Amen? But nothing in our life is more valuable than Christ, and He is worth giving up everything we've got if we could have Him. That's what He said in Matthew 13. Jesus gave that parable. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The kingdom of heaven is Himself. That's what He's talking about. He said it's like a treasure hid in a field. He said, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. In other words, Jesus in the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything. A lot of preachers spend their time trying to convince people to sell out and serve God. That's our terminology. Sell out and serve God. Amen. Listen, whenever He becomes precious to your dying soul, you don't have to be begged to sell out. Amen. You'll give up everything. You'll want Him more than anything. As a matter of fact, that is what it requires to have Him. Requires. I know salvation's free. It's a free gift, but it'll cost you everything. If you're not willing to give it up, you're not going to get it. Amen. If you're still hanging on to your reputation and that's more precious to you than Jesus, he'll never be yours. If your pride is still more precious to you than Jesus, if your peers and what people think of you is more precious than Jesus, amen. If your possessions and your lifestyle and your will and your control over your life and doing what you want to do with your life and making your own decisions and being your own man or being your own, if those things are more precious to you than Him, then He'll never be yours. What's it going to cost me to have Jesus? It's going to cost you everything. Everything. No, that doesn't mean you have to give away everything you got, become a pauper and all those things. But from your heart, you've got to be willing and you've got to want Him more than anything else. You've got to be to the place that you would give up everything if you had to. If He asked you to, you would. Amen. Amen. I say a lot of that because it was my reputation that kept me out. Amen. I can remember many a service sitting on the back row and God dealing with my heart and God convicting me and knowing I needed to be saved and know I was missing something in my life and knowing I needed to go down there and get in that altar and call on the Lord and be saved, but I couldn't do it because what was everybody going to think? People already think I'm saved, you know, and I've been in church all my life, and I've been a part of the youth group, and I've knocked doors and sung in the youth choir, and I've gone to church camp, and I've been baptized, and I've prayed all these prayers, and I'm pretty good, and all these things in my mind, and my reputation, what everybody's going to think, if I went down there, was more precious to me than Jesus. But the night I got born again, amen. All that got buried at the foot of the cross. Amen. All of our ego, all of our identity, all that we are gets buried at Calvary whenever we get in. Amen. Because that night I didn't care anymore. I wanted Him. I didn't want any more restless nights. I didn't want to lack peace in my soul. I didn't want to lay in bed wondering what was going to happen to me if I died lost without God. I didn't want to wonder what was going to happen if Jesus came back. I didn't want to have to sit under every message I ever heard and be under conviction and know I was missing something. And I didn't want to live my life that way anymore. And I got to the place, brother, the Holy Spirit got me to the place, amen, where I didn't care what anybody thought, amen. And Lord, if you want to send me to the deepest jungle of the middle of nowhere, I'll go if that's what it takes, amen. And I don't care what anybody thinks, I just want you, amen. By the way, all that's a matter of the heart. It's all in the heart. And if you're here this morning, you're lost without God, you know what that thing is too. You know what it is. You're thinking about it right now. He's dealing with you about it right now. You say, how do you know that? I know God's telling you because He told me. He told me every time. And the preacher didn't have to say it. And he didn't have to bear down on it. He could sometimes, but listen, he didn't have to. The Holy Spirit was always telling me. Amen. Amen. He's telling you that one place of rebellion, that one spot, that one hang up. Amen. He's telling you right now what it is you're not giving up. Amen. He's got to become precious to you. Amen. He is a precious stone, isn't he? You say, how much does it cost to have him? Everything, but that's still a deal. If it costs us everything, it'd still be a deal. It'd be the greatest deal you ever made. Amen. Listen, if and I've got more right now than I've ever got. It ain't much, but I've still got more than I ever thought I'd have in my life. And that's all because of him. Amen. Everything I've got, Lord, give it to him. And if he took it all away today, like Job, if he took my finances, if he took my family, if he took my health, if he took it all, it'd still be the greatest deal I ever made. Amen. By willing to take him. By purchasing him with everything. Great value. But then it also speaks of great affection. See, we call our sweethearts precious, right? My wife is so precious. And we call them that because we love them. Isn't that right? Amen. The ones that we love are precious to us. It speaks of great affection. And if there's anyone we should love, it ought to be him. If there's anyone we ought to have affection for, it ought to be him. For he has saved us from eternal condemnation, eternal hellfire. And through his work on Calvary, he has saved us. Great affection. He's a precious stone. The next thing we see in this verse is that he is a cornerstone. He said a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone in those days did two important things to a structure. First of all, they tied two walls together. Amen? That speaks of the mediation work of Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. There's one person who ties the sinner to God, brings the sinner to God. There's one go-between, and it's him. Amen? But then not only did it tie two walls together, but it also patterned the entire building. That cornerstone was laid first, and it was gotten right first, because everything else in the rest of the structure would be built off of that cornerstone. Amen. By the way, that's one reason you got to watch these new perverted versions, because they change him from the cornerstone to the capstone, and the two are not the same. The capstone is the finished at top. You can build it off anything, but he'll dress it up at the top. That's not what God said. He's the cornerstone. He's what everything else is built off of. The whole building was set according to the cornerstone. And Christ is the pattern that we must follow in life. If our life will be right, the cornerstone must be him. Amen? Listen, that's why these people who are messed up on salvation, they might be in right now, but if they're messed up on their doctrine regarding salvation, they'll be off somewhere down the road. Amen? Amen. Generally, people who have doctrinal problems have moral problems because the foundation's not right. The cornerstone's got to be right. And so he's a cornerstone. But then last of all, he is a sure stone. He said a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Sure means something that will not fail. Amen. Hey, thank God we just had the 4th of July, and thank God our country has stood for, 247 years, isn't that right now? Amen. Hey, thank God for that. Amen. But listen to me, he ain't going to stand forever. Thank God for the greatest economy, the greatest country, all those things that the world's ever seen. The greatest empire the world's ever seen is America. Greatest nation. Amen. No one's ever been as rich as the people who live in America. Amen. Poverty in America is far greater than what most people have ever experienced in their life. Poverty in America. Amen. Listen, poverty in other countries, they don't get free phones. Amen. They ain't even got water, clean water, much less a free Obama phone. Amen. I'm saying poverty, the lowest of the low in America, is far greater than the way the majority of the world has ever lived their lives. But America is made with human hands, and it will fall. Amen. Listen, as great as our Constitution is, it's not inspired by God. It's not the inspired Word of God. Amen. It's not gospel. I thank God for it. But listen, anything built with human hands, it will fall. Every nation will fall. As a matter of fact, I see us on our decline right now. We've reached our peak. We're like the Roman Empire, who reached its peak at around 200 years. America reached her peak around 200 years, and we're on the decline now. Amen. Amen. And the reason is because we're turning our back on our foundation, on God, on Jesus Christ, on the Word of God. And it will fall. As any nation that turns its back on God, we will fall. But listen, when America's long gone, we'll still have something we can stand on. Amen. A sure foundation. Christ will never fail. The salvation He provides us will never fail. He'll never let us down. Like the songwriter said, I've never been disappointed in Jesus. The world makes many great promises but fails miserably to fulfill them. The devil makes many promises. Your flesh will make you many promises, but it'll never come through on them. And that's not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every promise He made, He will keep. And you can count on that. Amen? You can always count on Jesus. Aren't you glad this morning that He is our stone? For the person who's lost without God, He's that solid foundation that you can build your life on. Amen. Brother Raymond testified, right? Thank God He set my feet on the solid rock. Amen. Amen. Listen, a lot of people are selling out mighty cheap. They're building their life for the dollar bill. They're building their life for gain. They're building their life for more. They're building their life for the things of this world. They're laying up treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Building their life on things that will one day pass away. One day soon they will pass away. But praise God, God has provided us a stone, a solid foundation that we can build our life on, and it is Jesus Christ. Amen? And thank God He's for everybody. Just this past week, I saw this little mini documentary, I saw this little mini video deal thing, whatever. It was where they were catching these sex traffickers down in Colombia. All this trafficking is going on, and even trafficking little boys and little girls, stealing them away, ruining their lives. And this man went in undercover, and Colombia has become a real hot spot for tourists who want that sort of thing to go in and get it. And this man went in undercover, and they set up this whole sting operation. They met with these traffickers, you know, and they were interviewing this guy, and they asked him, they said, what's the hardest thing about doing what you're doing here? He said, the hardest thing to do in doing what I'm doing is to look in the eyeball these people that are doing all this trafficking. To look them in the eyeball and smile at them. He said, but you have to, you know. He goes in, he's going in undercover, you know. He's sitting, he's got to do these things to catch them. He said, man, these people, as wicked as they are, it's so hard to look them in the eye and smile, knowing what they're doing. And they went in undercover. They sat in this whole sting operation, had this building, and they met together with them and all. And they set up this big, they had this big negotiation and where they were going to get all these trafficked children, some of them as young as 11 years old, for sexual trafficking. And after this big negotiation, they had cameras. They were showing security footage of it all when it all went down. And they started bringing in all these sex slaves is what they are. Young children, teenage boys and girls, and some of them as young as 11 years old. And it was like over 50 of them they brought in. And, of course, once all that happened, once the transaction took place, then, of course, you know, they swarm in. They arrested like 5 or 6 of those guys or whatever. And just wicked. Isn't this world wicked? Isn't it awful? But as they were interviewing that man about it, he started telling about just the whole situation and going through it all. And he said, just before the sting happened and they came in and arrested these people and liberated these people, these young children, from this life they were in. He said, a little boy, an 11-year-old boy, came up to him and was asking for something. He said, "Can I have something?" What he was talking about was that something he was talking about was cocaine. He said, "They normally give me something," he said, "because I'm always so scared." He said, "When this happens, I'm always so scared, and they always give me something to help me not be so scared." And that something he was talking about was cocaine. Whenever I heard that, it just broke my heart. As you think about all the people all around this world, young people and old, who are in slavery to things like that. You think about the families and the young people even around our church, the children, even within walking distance probably of our church right now, who are growing up in awful situations. And I was getting ready to preach this morning, and my mind kept going back to that, and I kept thinking, oh, if they only had this stone, if they only had that stone that is Jesus Christ. You know, because people, you think about people in those situations, you know, their life is built on sinking sand. They have no solid foundation to stand on. No one loves them. No one cares about them. But thank God we do know someone who does love. We do know someone who does care. Amen. And the reality is, I said all that to say this, the reality is that you would be no better off if it wasn't for Him and His grace. That's where we'd all be. That's the depravity of humanity. Things like that. That's the depravity of man. And it's in all of us. And anyone who is in a slave, enslaved by sin, they can get on the stone. And He'll set their feet on the stone and have something solid to live their life on. Thank God that Jesus is the stone. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace this morning. I thank You for helping us with Your Word. I pray that You'll take it and use it. And Lord, I pray for that soul here this morning that may be lost without God. Lord, young or old, I pray that, Lord, You would do a work in that life, Lord, that they would look to Jesus, Lord, the solid foundation, Lord, that they would do away, Lord, within their heart, they would do away with everything they've built their life on, Lord, whether it be a profession, whether it be a baptism, whether it be church membership, whether it be good deeds, good works, whatever it is, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would forsake that sinking sand and run to Jesus for a solid foundation. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, to be born again, put all their faith, their trust, their hope in Jesus. Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved, that You'd help us to be more like You. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be ever more busy about Your work, Lord, knowing that we have, Lord, we possess in these earthen vessels exactly what the world needs, Lord, a solid foundation. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be what You want us to be, Lord, that we might get the gospel out, Lord, that we might stand for You in these last days. Lord, we love You. We thank You for what You've done. Blessing the altar call. In Jesus' name, amen.